it was wild. Like, I was trending on Twitter, receiving hate more than Donald Trump at the time. And you know, some of his tweets got pretty intense. So that's saying something, you know?
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope.
Today's guest is Luke Parker. Luke is a professional CrossFit athlete and a member of the Mayhem Independence Team with CrossFit Mayhem. Luke talks about being publicly shamed after his appearance on The Bachelorette and the impact that experience had on his identity. He also encourages listeners to find their purpose and put their full effort into understanding and pursuing it. I hope you enjoy the show, and please don't forget to subscribe. Now here's the conversation with Luke Parker. All right, so Luke Parker, on the Do Hard Things podcast. Maybe you can give some context for people who don't know that much about you or haven't heard of you. Like, when you get asked what you do, how do you answer that question?
Yeah, first, Dan, I just want to say thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be on the podcast, and I'm always pumped up to share my insight on anything, share my story, just share what I have going on. And man, Do Hard Things is just an incredible name for a podcast, because, man, that just seems like that's just what we do in life, huh?
Right.
Just constantly having to endure, right, and continue to battle through this thing we're all sharing called life. But, yeah, not to get off on a tangent, to answer the question just so people can know a little bit more about me. Grew up playing sports my whole life, played all of them, ended up choosing baseball, played 4 years of college. Grew up in Florida, so I'm from Florida. Lived in North Georgia for a few years. Once I graduated, worked for my dad and brother a little bit, and then sister-in-law happened to sign me up for a reality TV show.
I love that.
And that's actually around when I found CrossFit. My background was just pretty much baseball, and I was looking to do sports professionally or something professionally. Found out baseball wasn't for me, and then I did a little bit of triathlons, and then joined my first local box and found CrossFit, and the rest is history. Fell absolutely in love. And that was in North Georgia. And then about a year and 4 months ago, I moved to Cookeville, Tennessee. So now I'm with the Cookeville Mayhem, CrossFit Mayhem crew, and I'm a Mayhem athlete. Living the dream here in Cookeville, Tennessee.
Did you ever think you'd be saying that last sentence?
Absolutely not. Wait. I take that back. Let me back up. I had a conversation with my older brother. His name is Mike, and we were in North Georgia at the time. And we were talking about Rich and the Mayhem crew in Cookeville. And it was right when I just got done with my first day of CrossFit. I did that crazy workout Murph.
That was your first day?
First official workout.
Crazy.
So crazy. My hands were bleeding. I was all tore up, but really wanted to continue it. Like, they were telling me you have to wear a weight vest to be RX or whatever. And you know me, I'm hard headed. So
gotta go for it.
I'm like, I gotta go for it. So I bring my dad's actual body armor, which was like 35 pounds. Who knows how much it was? It was 30 plus. I got tore up. It was so hard. But I remember sitting down with my brother and talking to him and being like, man, if I take this thing seriously and pursue this, I'm definitely gonna have to go pay a visit to Rich in Cookeville and learn from the best. But to be honest with you, it just seemed far-fetched at the time, you know, just, you know, I'm living in Cookeville and I'm at CrossFit Mayhem.
So what about the Mayhem group? Was obviously Rich has got, you know, Rich is Rich, but the Mayhem group itself was attractive to you or sold you on moving and putting roots down there?
Yeah, I'll try to keep this short because I'd like to get very long-winded on that question.
Okay.
But to just give you a short and sweet version, Mayhem athletes' core values are faith, family, fitness, and service. So to me, right off the bat, that was, you know, huge for me. just to be surrounded by like-minded people. I mean, I was watching Rich on YouTube and I was like, who's this savage winning all these events?
Right?
He's got Galatians 6:14 tattooed on his side, which is far be it from me to boast in anything except for the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. So instantly I'm like, man, who's this guy? Can you really work out for a living and get paid to work out? So right. Instantly I was attracted to that. And then to give you a little quick backstory, when I was in North Georgia and found CrossFit, I joined with Training Think Tank crew in Atlanta area. And Travis Mayer, all of his friends like Noel Olson and a bunch of other guys like Chandler Smith and other guys like mm-hmm. that. And I remember being excited my first year in 2019 to go spectate the games for the very first time and go support my friends who kind of tucked me under the wing that year. They had training camps and I was still new to the sport. They were teaching me a ton. So I went and spectated and I had the opportunity to meet Rich and Hillary, his wife, and connect with my roommate now, which is the CFO of Mayhem, Brian Nelson. He's the one who partnered with Rich to create Mayhem Mission, their nonprofit. And I told, that was really kind of how I got my foot in the door. And Brian, I was telling Brian, I was like, look, I'm in Atlanta. I'm doing my thing with the TTT crew, but I am like doing this CrossFit thing because of feeling called to come here and just inspire people and spread what I believe in. And it's all faith driven. And I want to help you guys with your nonprofit and anything I can do to help. I want to be a part of it. I don't care if I have to travel to cook one. Sure enough, you know, after a little bit, traveled up a few times, got to connect and, you know, develop that the friendships and actually connect with people at Mayhem and Rich. So that's really how I got connected. That's the full story.
So it was a couple of years coming and
for sure.
The values though, are, and the fact that they live them out, I would imagine, are what was ultimately
absolutely
the driving force.
For sure.
When you got into CrossFit, what about it was appealing to you? Like, cause you probably could have gone a few different routes. I would think trying to do fitness as a living. Why CrossFit?
I guess the competitor in me is really, really what drove me to initially what drove me to want to be a part of it. And once I found CrossFit, and I won't lie, like when I found it, I was kind of experimenting with it to see if I could do this thing professionally. I wasn't in it just to get fit.
Right.
If I'm being completely honest, from day one, I was like, all right, do I have what this takes? And it took me a couple of years to figure that out, honestly. And, I'd say the community, man. I mean, CrossFit's just unique. You know, I really love the community everywhere I've ever been. They're always open arms. Come as you are. I don't care your age, your ethnicity. I don't care your fitness level. I don't even care if you've ever touched a barbell before. Like, we want you here and we want to see you succeed in all areas of life. And it's going to start here with building your fitness and building a healthy lifestyle. And we want to see that correlate into all areas of your life when it comes to waking up in the morning, your relationships, your business, and the list goes on. And that was so appealing and attractive to me because that's all I want to do with my life is push people to be the best versions of themselves and hopefully inspire them and just work alongside them, right? Like, not, I hate using the word suffering, but like struggling together, right? Growing together, going through hard things together. And that's, I mean, that's what was so appealing to me, aside from like my selfish ambition to jump on a bigger platform and grow as an athlete individually, which ultimately is also to do the same thing, right? And inspire others.
Right. And was that all that had been your goal like since college, or did that Absolutely. Kind of evolve as you got into it?
Yeah. I mean, I'll touch on that a little deeper. Playing 4 years of college baseball. I mean, rewinding to high school, I did play high school football and baseball. I chose baseball, really felt like I was called to be a professional athlete and was still learning a lot about myself, still growing. I mean, I'm still growing today, if I'm being honest with you.
Yep.
Like always growing in my maturity as a man and all aspects of life. But at that time, I really felt like I was going to be a big leaguer. That was my dream. I was chasing it. Nothing was going to get in the way of it.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. Now, you know, what can I be a professional athlete in? And then when I found CrossFit from the very beginning, it was like, okay, well, let's figure this thing out. And then I was, like I told you, kind of in awe of the community aspect and fell in love with that. And as I was growing in that and just being available to my community at the time, I started realizing pretty quickly, man, you know, the Lord's blessed me and I can do this CrossFit thing. I'm getting a lot better very quickly. So let me go find some people who are the best and let me see if, you know, I can learn from them and really do this thing.
Yeah. That's a testament to, it sounds like a few different groups of people that like were super welcoming to you as you were getting started, right? The think tank and then Mayhem, like, I don't know. It's just not that common for high level athletes in their discipline to have open arms and open doors to just somebody getting started. Like that's, I mean, it's what you're speaking about, the community, come one, come all, which I think we're having fun participating in, you know, as a business, let alone, you know, as an athlete, whatever level you're at. So I haven't asked anybody this, but I'd be curious your answer. When you think about, you know, having a career as a CrossFit athlete, what's the runway? Like how long? And then do you find yourself thinking, what am I going to do after this?
Yes, I think, you know, I think having a backup plan and a vision for what you want to do in the future is very important. And I'm still figuring that out. I still have a ton of mentors that are so successful. And when I ask them that, they tell me they're still figuring it out, which is, you know, that gives me peace, you know?
You're right.
But as far as a runway, man, I don't know. That's very interesting. I look at someone like, let's use Rich as an example. I mean, granted, he's extremely unique and I believe he could keep going if he wanted to, but he's thinking this is going to be his last year competing. When he goes and wins this CrossFit Games on a team this year, that's going to be his 10th gold medal. And
crazy.
That is wild to think about because he does have 2 silver medals, but we don't really talk about those in Cookeville, Tennessee. So once he gets that this year, that's 12 years of medals. And most of my friends have been doing it most of my friends that are professionals of the sport and at the very top and the pinnacle of it, I've been doing it from anywhere from 8 to 12 years, which to me, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. So when you ask me that question, and I'm still newer to the sport, so someone else might be better to answer this, but I believe that's kind of like your window before mentally, not just physically, which yeah, your body starts to break down, but mentally, I feel like people start to kind of, you know, shut down from being motivated to, you know, continue the rigmarole of grinding day in and day out, you know? So that's kind of what I would say with that, which is encouraging to me, although I just turned 28. So a lot of these young guns are, you know, in their low 20s. So some people would say, oh, well, you know, you're getting older, man, but I look at it like I'm an infant, man. I'm coming up to my 4th official year of CrossFit. So to me, I'm an infant in CrossFit years. My knees are still healthy and I'm still hungry and I'm getting better every year. So I'm just getting started.
Cool, man. Well, hey, let's dive into the meat of this whole thing, which is like built around one question. And the question is, what is the hardest thing in your life that you wouldn't take back?
Yeah, well, I'll just, you know, intro this with, I've been through a lot of hard things and every single thing in the moment has been like, get me out of here. I want nothing to do with this. Questioning life, questioning purpose, questioning everything, right? That's when you really get to see what you're made of. And that's when you are in the brink of like true growth. And that's why when I like to talk to, you know, friends, family, clients, whoever, about mindset, it's totally sounds cliche. And a lot of mindset gurus try to talk about it. Grab a hold of where you are, buckle in when things get rough and that storm comes, because that's when you're going to grow. And that's when you're going to transform as a person, as a man, or as a woman, and really become what you're meant to be and become a whole lot stronger. And to answer the question of what was the one thing, it's just hard for me to think of anything else at the moment, just because I'm so fresh from this experience. And I brought up a little bit earlier briefly, but my sister-in-law did sign me up for reality TV. I'm trying to think, man, that was already like 2 years ago, which is crazy. It seems like yesterday sometimes. Yeah, which is funny because they're still calling me today trying to get me back on that
sucker. Oh, really?
Yeah. But yeah, that just whole situation, which mine was very unique, and I don't want to get too long-winded or into any of the details, but that was one of the hardest things I'd ever been through. And this isn't from me, it's from other people, but many, many, many other people claimed that out of 20 years of that show, I had the worst edit and got painted to be a villain when, and I won't, like I said, get into too much of the details, but it was just an interesting experience. And it was really hard for me and my family. And at the time, man, like, it was wild. Like, I was trending on Twitter, receiving hate more than Donald Trump at the time. And, you know, some of his tweets got pretty intense. So
yeah, that's saying something,
you know? Mm-hmm. And ultimately though, like, through that experience and how rough it was on me, and it was really encouraging because I did stand up for my faith a lot on the show, and I did get to air some of that, which was really neat. And I did receive a lot of encouragement from believers, and got to receive a ton of Bible verses in my DMs at the time. I mean, it was kind of wild, you know, you wake up one morning and you went from 1,000 followers on Instagram to 100,000 literally overnight, and then receive a ton of hate. And one big thing I learned was there's a ton of trolls on the internet, right? People who are confident to speak up or speak their voice hiding behind a screen. And I just have learned to, you know, not listen to what other people say about you.
Hmm.
And for me and my faith is latch on to what God says about me.
Yeah.
And, you know, take a hold of that and understand that hurt people that have bad experiences or who have been hurt will try to hurt people. And to not kind of take too much value and look too much into what other people say when you know who you are and what you stand for, what you believe in. So try not to get too long-winded and all that, but I'd say that was definitely be in the last few years, one of the hardest things I've ever been through, or the hardest.
Yeah, dude, that sounds, anytime that you can compare yourself to Donald Trump, as far as like what people are saying about you, it's going to qualify as a hard thing. That dude went through it. Like, talk about being painted, you know, obviously different people have different opinions, but that's your perspective and your story. And I'd be curious to hear, you know, like, is that process of working through what happened to you, one of like forgiveness, or just setting it aside and moving on? Like, are you having to work through like some of those things with specific people? And you don't have to name names or do any of that stuff, but I'd just be curious, like, is it a forgiveness process or different altogether?
Ah, man, never thought of using it in that context with that word forgiveness, but I would definitely say for sure has a lot to do with that. When you say the word process, that in my brain rings a huge bell, because that's exactly what that entire thing was a huge, long process. At that time in my life, I'll be honest with you, I was wrestling. You know, I go on a show, right? And kind of my personality at the time was extremely naive, very uneducated of kind of like the show in itself, never watched it before. And I'm on there to hopefully find love, and all these other things are going on. And, you know, my short-term goal going on there wasn't just to, you know, go find some spouse. It was, you know, to be well represented and gain traction, to have a voice, when I did the complete opposite. And I wanted to represent my faith well. And like I said, man, like, a lot of the opposite came out of it, and it helped me ultimately though grow a lot as a man and in my maturity. Like, I'm far from perfect, but yet like there was still a lot of me that was misconstrued on there. So it wasn't completely on me, but I'll definitely put a lot of the blame on myself of just like not totally living to my own convictions. But still had opportunities to stand up for what I believed in and in my faith. And as far as the process goes, it really just came down to me having opportunities to not be on a TV that's edited. And once it was over, to be myself, whether it was on my own Instagram, or I think the coolest moments were meeting people in real life that were like, you know, man, oh my gosh, there's that guy from TV. Let's go talk to him. And then having the opportunity to be myself, no edit. Like, this is me. How are you? Like, let's chat. Like, what kind of questions do you have? You know, what are you doing here? Whether it was at a CrossFit event or if it was just out in public or what. And those opportunities were, to me, beautiful, because I enjoy being able to be personable with people and would rather connect with someone in real life than, you know, over social media or even on a Zoom call. Like, even right now talking to you, I'm enjoying this, I'm having a great time, but I'd so rather be there in your office hanging out.
Oh, for sure.
Just being honest.
My office is awesome. So you're missing out, but I do have a comfy chair back there.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. 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 I totally agree. In-person stuff is always so much more rich. But like,
well said.
Going back into that process a little bit, you to keep using that word, like, it sounds like you've kind of moved on from it a little bit, but just talk about like maybe a one or two or three things that you feel like, and I'll use this phrase specifically, like, that God put you through the process for, because that's always the question. It's like, okay, well, God, if you are who you are, why this hard thing, you know? And so I'm curious, like, what's the why?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say ultimately be purpose. And I'll give you one nugget that, and I have a list of, but I'm gonna give you one that I think is really cool, just a cool conversation to have. And it has to do with insecurities. And it's this idea of, and if you watch the show in its entirety, you would never know this. This is just something that you could gather from me telling you, right, and explaining to you. And it's this, like I brought up, insecurities. It's this simple fact of, I, coming off the show, got to like look back and kind of critique myself and be like, okay, well, although this happened there, this happened here, and I know it really happened, but why did I say this? Or being put in this pressure situation, why did I act this way? Or why did this come out of my mouth? And I realized, and it was a lot deeper than I thought, that I've been struggling my whole life with just worrying too much about what other people think of me. And got to really dig deep with some mentors, my older brother and many others, just about some of these certain situations, and really kind of dig through them. And it's just simple idea of being self-conscious. And, you know, we all suffer from insecurities. And, you know, I didn't realize that I had suffered from like that mindset as bad as I did until I realized and took a step back, man, wow. Like, I was just like worrying way too much about what those people thought of me in that moment. Worried about too much that the fact that there's 8 cameras on me in that moment, you know what I mean? Like, and it brought a lot out of me, and that helped me learn. And it's still something that I don't have completely down perfect today, although I definitely have a huge grasp over it and have overcome it a lot. Just with the word purpose, right? And for me, it's like the phrase fear of man to describe this struggle, right, of being self-conscious, like this idea of worrying too much about what other people think of you, to the point where what you believe in like won't come out of your mouth with the language you use or your actions. Like, worrying too much what people think of you, that you kind of shift the way you are, like your true you, your personality, who you are, what you believe in. And what really helped me grab a hold of that was going back to the basics, right? To my foundation. Okay, well, what do I believe in? Being a believer in Jesus and being a Christian, and like going back through scriptures and reading my Bible and latching on to God's promises and really going back to the basics and foundation for me in my life, it helped me kind of recalibrate my mindset there and be like, okay, well, I serve an audience of one. Like, I'm not here totally to, no, granted, I am a servant and I'm here to serve, but like what I'm doing and living for isn't for what other people think of me. Like I said, I'm here to serve an audience of one, and that's God. And having purpose in mind through certain situations and what I believe in has really helped me grow in that area of my life. And I can tie that with all areas of life, right? Going down to the basics of anything, why do we wake up in the morning when our alarm clock goes off? Like, what's really driving us to do what we do in our work, our job, our business? For me, all those things, relationships, even CrossFit, competing. And it comes down to what we believe in. What are our core values and why are we doing it in the first place? And what's the purpose of doing it all in the first place? So going back to those foundations for me and going back to my core values, what I believe in, has really helped me learn so much about myself and really grab a hold of that idea of being put in any situation, whether it's high pressured or not. And my response, if you ask me a question or if a situation happened, that I can go live and be what I believe in, you know? So if you ask me a question, I could say what I believe in and it'd be real, you know, and not just kind of this, oh, well, I'm like insecure, kind of worried too much about these people in the situation kind of thing. And it's crazy that it took going through an experience like TV for me to realize that that was something that I needed to work on in my own life. That got long-winded there, but
dude, you don't got to worry about being long-winded. People want to know like the process. Cause we all, you know, like we all talk plenty in our heads. So like getting it out there for people to be able to relate to in that way, totally absolutely a good thing. So, you know, plenty of people will be able to relate to that process. And thinking about identity, you know, it's like, so it feels like it's an everyday battle, right? Of absolutely, okay, who am I and why am I doing this thing? Because a lot of times, you know, actions just like they have creep, right? Like all these other identities that we can have just like slowly find their way like more and more into our life until we like get to a moment, like, which I think is a gift from God to like reset and go, okay, wait a second. Where'd this come from? Why is this here? How come I do this in this moment? And then just hit the reset button. Cause it just, it's not like you just go, all right, I'm going to be this today. And it's not what you want to be, you know, it's like, it just slowly finds its way more and more into your life. Okay. So you went through this, a situation that's pretty unique, right? Like not a lot of people are going to have that exact same situation, but everybody, you know, has their own hard thing. And so I'd be curious, like for somebody who's in the middle of a difficult situation, like what would your advice be to them? Like what would you tell them to encourage them or help them through it?
Yeah. If you're going through something rough, first off, I would say if you're in a difficult situation, know that this too shall pass. I think that's always a huge encouragement just right off the bat, is nothing in this life can last forever. Nothing. And I know a lot of situations, even like the one that I just brought up, man, in that moment in my life, I thought that was going to last forever, right? Here I am on the other side of that storm. But also too, like in the midst of pressure and hardships and struggle, you really have to latch on to your why. And it comes down to that same word we used earlier, was purpose. First of all, like, what do you believe in? Why do you believe you are where you are? Because at the end of the day, like the creator of everything, God, has you where you are right now for a specific reason and purpose and plan. Yeah. And I think another encouragement is the fact that, you know, if you're going through a hardship, it's because guess what? Better's coming. And you're going to grow through that. You're going to become stronger through that. And I think that ultimately is a huge encouragement as well. Man, I had a pastor give an example in church a few weeks ago, and I thought it was incredible. He was talking about like pressures of life, and he had a longbow.
Okay.
And was pulling it back. Cause when we keep like, feel like we're digging ourselves in a hole, like God's just growing us and growing us and growing us. And we're in this like high pressured situation. And eventually that bow has to launch and that arrow is about to take off. Like we might be in a huge valley, but again, it's like this too shall pass. And if you're in a valley, you know what's coming? Like you're about to be on the peak of that mountain and you're going to be overcoming. So I would just encourage whoever's in a tough time, like if you get knocked down, get back up and just keep putting one foot in front of the other, because better's coming.
That's good. Yeah. I was thinking as you're talking, my mentality, God puts us in hard situations, you know, like to grow us. And, you know, that's this whole concept, Romans 5, but, like I always wanted like when I'd say, God, you know, like I want to be more patient. I just wanted him to like flip the switch, you know, like, all right, snap your fingers. I'll be more patient. Thanks, God. But really it's like, no, he's going to put you in situations to test your patience and grow it, right? It's going to be a hardship that like produces that result, not like just a light switch flip, you know? And so those Absolutely. Situations, yeah, they don't last forever, but it's so hard in the moment. But then to remember so hard in the moment. What's coming on the other side, like, oh, and there is purpose in this, super helpful. Mm. Did you get any encouragement or advice in the middle of it? Or were you like kind of stuck, like insulated from being able to be encouraged and get advice?
Yeah, a little bit here and there, but for the most part, no. I mean, you get there and your cell phone's taken away from you. So there's zero contact with the outside world. But I did have my Bible with me. So I read that stuff every morning. And I definitely had some encouragement there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'd do without that. But it was rough. I mean, yeah, I didn't have any friends. It wasn't like I could call my best friend or a mentor.
Right.
Like, yo, this is happening. What do you think? You know, let's talk about this. You know, so it definitely made me not take for granted like relationships.
Hmm.
I think it's relationships are huge, right? And it's the same thing we're talking about with CrossFit, the CrossFit community, challenging each other, just friends, whoever's in your community circle, like maybe someone who's, I don't know, maybe you work out at 6 a.m. every morning, this someone who's at that class with you every morning, like just challenging each other to be better, even if it's fitness, but accountability, relationships and all things life, business, and being the best version of yourself is so vital. Like you have to have people in your corner.
Yeah. And do you feel like growing up at the different places that you were, so college, athletics, the show, CrossFit now, that you've had those people, and have they changed? Like, did you have to go find them, or were they kind of consistent throughout and, you know, hang on to them? It sounds like your brother's been one of them, but.
Yeah. My brother's been, he's been everything at times in my life.
Mm.
But yeah, it's been, and I'd say, man, I feel like my life's been pretty unique there as well. I feel like every location I've ever been in, and like I went to multiple different colleges too for baseball. And every time I traveled, I really felt like I was very fortunate. I was very blessed. Like God put really good people in my life that were like-minded individuals, whether they were successful or not, that had the same core values as me. And they really challenged me to be the best version of myself. And they were on a mission to be the best versions of themselves. And I feel like that has been so vital in my development as a man, because I've had that everywhere I've been. And you asked, like, did I have to go find that? I mean, yeah, because I was looking for it. But then again, like when I moved, it was just there. It took me having an intentional conversation and then building a relationship. I mean, that's about all it takes, which can be easier said than done, but.
So to kind of put a bow on all this conversation about doing hard things, like what's something difficult that you're in the middle of right now?
I'd say I leave tomorrow to go to Knoxville, and I compete in a semifinal this weekend to go qualify for the CrossFit Games. It's heavy on my mind.
That makes sense.
I'd like to say. So yeah. I'm going to use it as an example. Giving it my all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything. I believe in everything you do, you should be giving your absolute best.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my personality as a person is, you know, if I'm in something, I'm all in. And learning how to have balance in my life, but also be able to give everything I have into training. And it takes a lot of sacrifice, and just being able to give my team and everyone everything I have at all times when I'm in training. But I'd like to shift the conversation to, again, just the same thing that we had talked about, and I'll take it at a different angle, is like, you know, at the end of the day, I believe it's very important to have your eyes set on something, whether it's a dream, if you will, or a goal, like have that foundational why and take a hold of it. Whether it's just goals in business, like where do I want to be, or if it's just goals and relationships in your life. And I believe it's very important. Like, I don't know if it's every day. Everyone might be different, but at least once a week. I mean, I don't know if it's in your journal or you just want to like have some alone time and think about your goals in life, or jot down some stuff in a journal and really set your sights on something. Because if you're not really latching on to your purpose and why you're doing something and have those convictions to latch on to, and if you can't actually like see it clearly and put your sight on it, then you're kind of like wondrously aiming. And yep. I like to use archery as an example. You know, if you don't have a little sight to look through and a target to look at, then how are you going to hit the target? You know what I mean? So I think it's so important to just go back to the foundation of why you're doing what you're doing. And it comes down to, you know, what you believe in, your purpose for it, and chase those goals.
Yeah.
But be able to say them in language or be able to write them down clearly and be able to attack them. Mm-hmm. I think, and you asked me like, what's something hard you're going through right now? I'd say it's that. Being able to specifically put goals down and consciously be thinking about them all the time and completely be all into them. And I think it's something that I want to challenge and encourage everyone to do is listen to this, because I believe that's so important to do consistently in your life. Because if not, you're kind of wandlessly aiming through life.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you, so I've experienced this myself. Like I went to a conference, gosh, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And it was all about, it was called the Daniel Summit. And Daniel was, you know, he had influence because he was excellent at what he did. And so the idea was like, what are you chasing and pursuing? Be excellent at it. And like everybody seeing all these speakers, they had, you know, oh, they had this life mission that was like put in front of them. You think of like somebody like Moses in the Bible, or you think of some like a Gandhi, you know, like they had these things that were compelling them forward, their why. And I sat and all these, listened to all these people, and I go, well, what the, like, how do these people, first of all, how did they find it? One, like, where did it come from? And then two, you know, like, how do you find yours? You know, because some people have their story of like, oh, it's just an aha moment, or it's just been put in them since birth. And so I'm curious, you know, like I went through a long process to get through that in my own heart and mind. But like, what do you say to the person who's like, okay, yeah, but what it like, how do I find my why? You know, like, cause there's lots of people that I'm sure would love to have one that they really are convicted and compelled by, but don't even know where to start.
Yeah. And that's a great question. And I have two answers to that. One, very specifically, get in a journal and write down why. And continually answer that question over and 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 over until you come to the last thing on the sheet of paper. And that's going to be your why. Like, why do you do what you do? And if you can't answer that, that's okay. If you can't find that, that's okay. Some people search their entire lives to find their why and they can't find it until like literally their last breath of oxygen on this planet. And like I said, that's okay. That might be your why in your moment or this season of your life is to find your why, to be hungry to find it. But I would also answer this to someone who hasn't quite gotten there yet is, what are you good at? Everyone's good at something. Everyone's been gifted talent in some area of their life. Every single person on this planet is gifted somewhere in some aspect of life. And then I believe as far as purpose goes, you're called to share that. Whatever you're good at, share that with the world. Hmm. Don't hide it for yourself. Don't just keep it in for yourself. Whatever that thing is that you're good at, that you've been blessed with, that you are gifted in, go and share that with the world. When you serve and give, it always is better than receiving and more fulfilling than receiving. And I believe that's that in a nutshell can be described as purpose. If you struggle with finding your purpose, there you go. Start there.
Write down why. Sure. Yeah. Gifts and talents and just the like exercise of digging deeper, 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 deeper with that one question. Why, which, you know, I don't know, like for men, I'll speak for men generally. And this was true of me too, like asking why and like being able to process the next why and then the next why is like, that takes practice. Like it doesn't, my wife has made me like infinitely better at that. I don't even think I did it, to be honest. You know, I like lived at the surface level of like why, you know? And then, you know, get into a deep relationship and they start asking you why, and you're like, oh shoot, I don't have an answer for that. I got to figure it out. And it took tons of practice, you know, of like understanding my own heart and mind and like what's driving me in the things I do. because there is like that surface level immediate answer that I think our culture will define for us a lot of the time. But like, what's really going on? What's motivating you? What's your identity? You know, all those things just take a long time. That's a lot of work. What's the thing? Like, what's your goal right now? What's your why that's on paper that you're working towards in this current moment?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as goal, you know, I have very lofty goals. And again, like it's so near and dear to my heart and my mind right now that I'm going to have to use it again as an example, but for CrossFit right now, it's just to continue to grow this platform I have and this recognition that I'm slowly gaining through the CrossFit community. And I just want to inspire others through it. As far as specific goals go, like even this weekend, like I'm very hungry to go win the semifinal. Everyone here at Mayhem, they just want us to come top five and qualify to the games. I don't want to do that. I don't want to just get on that podium. I want to stay on the very top of that podium. And I want to stand next to Rich because I know he's going to win the CrossFit Games this year for his 10th gold medal. And I want to stand next to him when he does it. And
yeah,
I'm okay with the silver medal this year, you know, and that's my goal. And then the following year, I want to go as an individual and go to my CrossFit Games as my first year as an individual and continue to climb the ladder there. And at the end of the day, it's really just to grow my platform and to be able to inspire others and continue to inspire people in my local community. And as far as like the deep root of truly why, it's grace. Being given what I don't deserve, you know, what's the meaning of grace? Receiving something that you don't deserve. And, you know, I don't deserve the life I have. I don't deserve to be an athlete, but most of all, like I don't deserve a savior. I don't deserve a God that would send his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins, just so that I could have a life free with him and live in freedom for eternity and live in perfection with him in eternity on the other side of this thing in heaven. So yeah, that's my why. And I just, my faith drives me to do everything that I do. Like I just really want to see everybody be the best versions of themselves and have true confidence. And that's why I love, and I'm so passionate about fitness, is because I believe, you know, being, taking care of your body, being healthy and like breaking down walls mentally, right? Like we all go through hard things and they look like we climb mountains, so to speak, metaphorically, like attacking workouts or whatever. And they look so tall, like I'll never make it to the top of that mountain. And next thing we know, we're on top of that mountain, looking down and looking at the amazing view. And then we look at the next mountain. And I love seeing people go through that process of becoming, surprising themselves, becoming better versions of themselves, like staying on new summits, you know what I mean? And yeah, that's just what I want to see for everyone. I just want to see everybody just be the best version of themselves and make the most of this life that they've been given. Cause man, life's short. And that's one thing I could say at the end of this is like, man, the older I get, I just realize how short life is. And like, you know, why are we doing it if we're not giving it every single thing we have, every single moment we have?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Waste of time otherwise. So
absolutely.
Dude, thanks for hopping on the call. It was really fun to, you obviously are a very passionate person, which I love. So it's fun to like see and hear some of that and get to know you a little bit. And thanks for sharing that with, you know, our listeners. Hopefully it's an encouragement and inspiration for them. So glad to have you.
Dan, you're the man. Thanks for having me, brother. It was,
yeah, dude.
It was fun chatting.
Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you're encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.